What's up, Birth Geeks? You're listening to the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. And as a mom of five with one on the way, swapping birth stories with friends, family, and even strangers has inspired me to create a space for women to come and share their unique journeys to birthdays. Get ready to hear stories from women from all walks of life. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, no story is alike. So join me in honoring these journeys and let your inner birth geek be inspired and indulge. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the podcast. Today I have Kate with me, and she is going to be sharing, touching base on three of her birth stories. So without further ado, I won't hold up the floor anymore. Kate, thank you so much for being here today. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Sure. So my name is Kate Pavlovsky, and I am a mother of three boys, aged 5, 3, and Huxley just turned 1. So I had two of them at home, and then one, my last one, in the hospital. So I did kind of the reverse of most people, I feel like. But my first birth also inspired me to go into birth work. So I'm also a doula, massage therapist, and birth photographer now. So do you want me to just continue into my birth stories?
Yep, you can start wherever you feel necessary.
Okay. So I'm going to start even before conception of my first. One evening, my husband sort of suddenly said to me, I feel like we are supposed to have a baby. Like, I have seen him in my dreams, and I just feel like, even though this wasn't necessarily our plan right now, I think it's time. And that, if anybody knows my husband, like, that's not really like him. He's not super, I don't know how to say it. He's not like hippy dippy type, you know. He's not super in touch with the other side or anything like that, you know. So it sort of stunned me, and we spent a long time talking it through and going through all the what ifs. And after this conversation, we ended up on the same page, like, yes, let's just go for it. You know, you never feel 100% ready to have kids. You know, you can prepare and prepare and prepare, but it's not really a rational decision to have children. It's something you kind of have to just jump into because it's not really financially sound. It's always going to be expensive. It's always going to sort of put your life on hold in different ways. So we are like, we're ready. We're as ready as we're ever going to be. Let's just jump into this. So we spent, I think, the next 3 to 4 months trying to conceive. And I kind of expected it to go really easy. You know, you spend all this time in your life trying to not conceive, that I kind of figured, like, the minute that we stopped trying not to conceive, that we would conceive. And when that didn't happen right away, you know, I felt a little bit let down and a little bit worried. And I started looking into ways to make myself healthier in order to be able to conceive a healthy child. And I mean, just to conceive in general. So that's kind of when the research started. I'm somebody who researches everything very thoroughly, and that's when my, like, motherhood research started. So I read the book Real Food for Mother and Baby, which goes over, like, a fertility diet for both the man and the woman. It's by Nina Plank, too, if anybody's interested in it. It's a really great book, but it goes all the way from fertility all the way through baby-led weaning. So it was very educational. And I started that diet, and within, I want to say, 1 or 2 cycles, I became pregnant after following that diet. And the funny thing was that my husband, whenever he had said that he had seen our baby in his dreams, he said it was a him, and he said it was a boy, and he saw him. Oops, I just let my thing go black, but it didn't tap out. Okay, sorry about that.
You're fine. No problem.
So anyway, when my husband saw our baby in his dreams, he said it was a boy, and he actually said that he was wearing like a top hat and walking around, like toddling around as a toddler, and he had his dad's mustache, like my husband's father's mustache. And so he just knew it was going to be a boy. And it turned out at 17 weeks, I had some spotting, and we rushed to get an ultrasound because we were so worried. And it turned out he really was a boy, which was just, it sort of solidified the whole experience. Like, it seemed like my husband really was connected to this baby before we had even conceived him, which was really a really cool experience for me. But anyway, I feel like I kind of skipped to the middle. But with my first, I planned to have a home birth. And I planned this because one of my very close friends had had a baby the year before, and she planned a home birth with a home birth midwife. So I knew that that's exactly what I wanted to do as well, because it was just so gentle and so respectful. And I just thought, oh, this is how birth is meant to be. So we were actually living in Oregon at the time. We were living outside of Portland in a little town called St. Helens. And we are from Texas. So we are sort of displaced from our regular home, but that's where we got pregnant, and we started preparing to have a baby there in Oregon. I got a midwife and started planning my home birth. And then about 6 months into my pregnancy, my husband lost his job there, and we assumed he'd just be able to get another one, but the job market there was not the same as Texas. And so we ended up realizing that we needed to move home to Texas. So we packed up and we moved. With me being 6 months pregnant, we packed up everything that we could fit into our truck and just moved back home to Texas to be around our family and friends, where we had connections and my husband could get another job quickly and we could stop eating tuna fish. And we just suddenly packed up and moved, and I had to find a new midwife. And so I used the same midwife that my friend had used for her home birth the year before. And it was actually just perfect, because I truly believe everything happens for a reason. And I think that this was the midwife for me, the one that I needed. And so it was a little crazy. We literally moved into our home a month before having him. And then I was due on December 17th. And so I spent the entire holidays, you know, Christmas, New Year's, all of that, just staying inside waiting on my baby, because I was sure, just like every other first-time mom, that he would arrive on time or before. Because if you read anything on the internet, it'll tell you that your baby is likely to come between 38 to 40 weeks, because all of the statistics are completely skewed at this point, because that includes all of the women who have been induced. And we rarely let women in the medical system go beyond 42 weeks. So, you know, reading up online, because I'm this avid researcher, and everything that I'm finding is telling me, oh, your baby's going to come early. So I'm just so sure that my baby's going to come early, even though my grandmother went to 44 or 45 weeks with my uncle. So it runs in my family that we have longer cycles and we carry our babies longer, but I didn't pay attention to any of that. I wanted my baby to come early and I convinced myself it was going to happen. And so I spent 2 weeks just miserable, everybody texting me all the time, hey, is your baby here yet? As if I'm not going to freaking announce it and they're not going to like see it online. I'm just going to keep them a secret, right? So it was very frustrating to just be in that situation. And then, of course, you start not trusting your body. You're like, am I working right? Is this safe? You know, is my midwife going to force me to induce? You know, and it starts being, the fear starts to set in. And I got to close to 42 weeks and it was about to be, it was New Year's Eve actually. And I went for an ultrasound on New Year's Eve, right on 42 weeks, because my midwife did it, just to check in on Titus, who is my oldest. And we went in and everything looked absolutely fine. He was actually measuring right around 38 weeks, which ultrasounds at that stage aren't super accurate. So I don't know if that means anything, but it made me feel better at the time. And he had plenty of fluid and his movements were fine. So after that ultrasound, I felt very reassured and I felt like, you know, I'm just going to keep waiting. I had done a lot of research about going past due dates and the inaccuracy of them and all of the things that can come into play, such as, you know, just the very the method that we use to estimate due dates is just very outdated and inaccurate in and of itself. Plus the fact that ultrasounds aren't, you know, perfectly accurate. Plus the fact that everyone's cycle is slightly different. So, you know, expecting everyone's baby to come within the same time frame just isn't, it doesn't really make sense. So I felt that with my midwife's supervision and the fact that we were checking in on his heart rate and checking in on his fluid levels and I was tracking his movements, I felt safe to continue into the 43rd week. So, you know, at this time, at 42 weeks, we tried all these methods of induction. We tried breast pumping. We tried the cervical sweeps. And we tried cramp bark tincture, which is a tincture that should get contractions started. So I was on this regimen of like pumping for a certain amount of time and then stopping and taking the cramp bark tincture and then pumping again all throughout the whole day on New Year's Day. And at the end of the day, I was just so exhausted. I remember texting my midwife and I was just like, I'm so upset. Like contractions kept starting up, but then they would peter out. So it's like I would get so excited, like, oh, the contractions are coming. And then I would take a nap or something because I was just so exhausted at that point, and they would completely go away after my nap. And so she ended up just saying, you know what, like, you need a break. You need to just let it go. Don't worry about anything. Don't try to get labor started. Go see your family who you've secluded yourself from while waiting on this baby. You know, go see your friends. Do something. Distract yourself. So we went over to a friend of ours' house who had just adopted these two adorable kittens. And I was playing with the kittens and I was hugging them and smooching all over them. And my contraction started. And I didn't say anything to anybody in the room because I was scared I would spook myself and they would go away again. You know, I was just like, I'm not going to tell anybody. It's whatever. They're probably going to go away. This baby's going to be in there till he's 18 years old. Like, I'm never going to have him. Whatever. So I continued playing with the kittens and the contractions got a little bit stronger and they felt different than they had before. They felt real. They're still very early labor contractions, but they just felt substantial in some way. I can't really describe it. So we left there and we went to my aunt and uncle's house because they lived close by and I hadn't seen them over the holidays and they're very special to me. So we went over there and everybody was talking and asking me how I felt and I couldn't keep it in any longer. And I was like, well, my contractions did start. So I might be having him soon, you know, and I allowed myself to get a little bit excited with them. And so we went home from there and I slept through the night and the next day I woke up and my contractions were still there. They were minimal. They were early labor contractions. They weren't keeping me from sleeping, but they were still there. And I just felt so excited to feel that tightening of my belly at pretty steady intervals. I would say like every 10 to 15 minutes. And so that continued throughout that whole day. And I ran myself kind of ragged that day because I was like, oh my gosh, I had convinced myself that he was not going to come. And so we had like eaten all the groceries in our house and we had to go to the grocery store again. And there were just last minute supplies that I wanted. So we ran around running errands that whole day. And I was just so excited that I didn't want to stop. And I kind of kept expecting it to get really strong that day. But it didn't get strong until midnight that night. And so then I didn't sleep at all because they kept getting stronger all the way through the night. And I was just, labor was there that I didn't sleep and I didn't eat much. And I went into labor and it started getting really strong. About 3 a.m, my midwife came over. And by that time, I was like so done. I was so exhausted. And she started filling the big water tub. And then she checked me and I was only 2 centimeters. And I was like, what? I put in all this work. I'm already exhausted and I'm only 2 centimeters dilated. So that was disappointing. And we decided he was in an awkward position. So we did a lot of rebozo, a lot of positioning stuff. I had to stay out of the tub because it was just slowing my labor down. I ended up getting 2 bags of IV fluids throughout my labor. I didn't want to drink or eat anything, which was horribly stubborn of me and definitely was a detriment to my labor. And finally, at like noon the next day, I was just breaking down. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm so done. It's been like 36 hours. I cannot do this any longer. Take me to the hospital. Transfer me. And my midwife, talking so calmly and rationally, was like, well, like, do you want me to check you and see where we're at? Because I haven't checked you since I got here. You know, like, do you want me to check your cervix and see your progress, what progress you've made? And I was just like, no, I know I'm not going to be dilated. I just know it. Nothing's happening. I'm just miserable. You know, total transition talk. Now that I'm more experienced, I can totally see this was transition talk. But at the time, I was just in it. And finally, she said, well, what if I let you get into the tub? You know, let's get into the birthing tub and see. You'll feel a lot more comfortable and I can do the cervical exam in there and it'll be so much more comfortable. And so that got me. I was like, okay. And what I didn't know was behind my back in the other room, she had called ahead to the hospital. She had
told them that they might be transferring. She'd prepared everything just in case, but she also wanted to give me a chance. So she got me comfortable in the tub and they added hot water, and I was so relaxed and I was so happy in there because this was what I'd always wanted. I'd wanted to get into the birth tub. And so she did my cervical exam and she was like, Kate, you are at 8 centimeters. You know, do you, and this baby is so low. You have this bulging bag of waters. Would you like me to break your bag of waters and you could have your baby really soon? And I was just elated. I was like, yes, get this baby out of me. Whatever we have to do, let's break my bag. I don't care. Like, let's get this over with. Let's do it. You know, so I get back out, I get onto the bed. And she broke my bag of waters and like a gush of amniotic fluid came out. And I got out of the bed to get back in the tub. And I immediately started having insanely strong contractions and the urge to push. So I basically start pushing right then and there. But I get back in the pool. And I probably pushed in the pool for like 45 minutes. But it felt like 5 minutes. And then she couldn't get a good read on his heart tones, my midwife. So she asked me to get back out of the tub because she was a little worried because he was 42 and a half weeks along and there was some meconium in my fluids. So she was like, I just really want to be able to get a good read on his heart tones. Let's move to the bed and you can be side lying or squatting or whatever. And I chose to be side lying. And I pushed for another 45 minutes or so. And his head kept coming out and then going back in and coming out and going back in and coming out and going back in. And finally, one time his head popped out and she goes, there he is, Joel, grab him. And Joel's my husband. And so Joel just kind of like, I guess, grabbed his head. And then with an and kind of held him there. And then the next push, his body started to come out. And my husband was the one who was catching him. And his cord was wrapped around his neck. But my husband said that it was totally instinctual for him to just gently cross it over his neck as he came out. And he was born. And I was so exhausted. I was just laying there on my back and they put my baby on my chest and I just kept laying there and I was too exhausted to really acknowledge anything that was happening. I just laid there for a while and they were kind of warming him up. They put like a towel over him while he was skin to skin with me and they kind of cleared out his mouth of the meconium fluid, but they didn't have to resuscitate him or anything. He was perfect. He was crying. He was happy. But I didn't have that immediate, like, oh my gosh, yay, my baby's here, because I was so exhausted. It came kind of slowly. It crept in. And I was just so stunned, like, wow, he's here. It's over. It was the best feeling in the world after it finally hit. But it did take a few minutes for it to hit so that I had time to like recuperate because it was a 37 hour labor, which I just hadn't expected. I had prepared, I had read all of this stuff. I was like, oh, I'm gonna have an ecstatic or an orgasmic birth. I did have an ecstatic birth. It was ecstatic at the end, but it was not orgasmic. And so it was crazy, you know. I truly believe that birth is a rite of passage, that it shows us what we need. It challenges us to grow and to learn how to surrender and to let go. And I was so resisting my contractions from the very start. I was resisting the process the whole way through. And so it took me to my brink. And it took me to the point where right before I was transitioning, I finally gave up. I finally let go. And I gave myself up and I was just praying to the universe. And I was like, you know, please just take me there. Like, get me to the end. Do whatever you have to do. I just gave up the resistance. I gave up the fight that I was having with my own body. And that's when I finally made so much progress. So then my second birth, it was about 2 years later, and I did so much to prepare. I had body work. I got massages regularly throughout my pregnancy. I had acupuncture regularly throughout pregnancy to handle anxiety and to prepare myself for labor. Like, once 37, 38 weeks hit, I didn't want to have this baby at 42 and a half weeks. I wanted my baby to come somewhat on time. So I started doing acupressure at home and acupuncture at a professional in order to encourage labor. And it's important to note that acupuncture is cumulative. So you can't just go at 42 weeks and be like, I need my baby now. It's not like that. You know, it's something that's gently preparing the body and encouraging it to do something that it's already ready to do. So I was going to acupuncture starting in my second trimester for relaxation and anxiety in order to prepare my mental health to let go and release my baby on time, and as well as to keep myself from suffering from prenatal and postpartum anxiety, which is something that I do deal with. So then before 40 weeks even hit, my labor started. I was so stunned and so excited because I'd gone to 42 and a half weeks with Titus. So I also had convinced myself that this labor would be faster because my first was 37 hours. And I was so irate whenever it literally followed the exact same timeline that Titus's labor did. I started around midnight, like in early labor. I slept well, but then it built throughout the day, the next day, and it didn't really hit into active labor until midnight the next night. So I spent 24 hours in early labor, and then I spent 13 hours again in like active labor. And this time I had prepared, I had my best friend Carrie McCutcheon as my doula, and I had the same midwife, and she even had a student midwife who I just loved and cherished so much. And so I had the best birth team. My husband was prepared. I had been taking care of myself. And yet it was still this long labor, but it was not nearly as grueling as my first, because this time I was prepared. I had my birth team, my doula spoon fed me oatmeal and hand fed me grapes and made sure that I was drinking water and coconut water and juice and things like that to keep my energy up. And she gave me like foot massages to help me nap. I napped through a ton of my labor, honestly. So even though I was in active labor, but she put me to sleep with foot rubs, with essential oils. And then I spent a lot of it in the shower with the hot water on my back to combat the pain of the contractions. And I was giggling and talking and laughing with my best friend, my doula, and my husband through a lot of the labor. So even though it was the same timeline, it was just such a better experience because I had prepared and I took care of myself and I respected the process. But I still had to have that moment where I gave up resistance. And so I still was resisting the pain to, you know, at some level. I was fighting it. I didn't want to feel the pain because who wants to feel pain? And so I still had to have that moment where I stopped complaining and I started allowing my body to do the work that it was meant to do. And I got out of the way of my body and just let go and held on to my husband and laid in bed while my midwife was massaging me and just prayed to my body. I prayed to my body and I said, please do this work quickly. Bring my baby to me quickly. Thank you for bringing me these contractions. Thank you for doing this work for me. And I just sat there and prayed and said these things over and over to my body. And suddenly I felt as though I needed to poop. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And my whole birth team was like, you know, on edge, like, okay, wait, you know, do you feel pressured? You know? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I just need to poop. And I was just convinced that this was going to be the worst poop of my life. Cause I was going to have to like poop alongside having contractions in heavy labor. So I get up and I walk across the hall to the bathroom and my birth team is like, okay, she's about to have this baby, you know? So they're getting all prepared and they're like bringing all the supplies into the bathroom and they're like, we're going to come with you. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's fine. But like, I really just have to poop. So like, sorry guys. And so I sit down on the toilet and the first thing that happens is I just have this mega contraction. And I immediately start to push with my contractions. And so everybody just rushes around me. They're like, we knew you were about to have this baby. And I'm still just in la la land. And my midwife was like, Kate, if you don't want to have your baby in the toilet, you might want to stand up. And I'm just kind of like, huh? Like, okay. And I stood up and my husband kind of helped me stay steady, or somebody did. It must not have been my husband because he was catching the baby. But somebody helped me stand steady and hold on to them. And the next contraction hit, and literally two contractions. That was all it took. His head popped out. And then the next contraction came really quickly. And I swear, in under 5 minutes, my baby was born into my husband's arms, like that fast. Totally could have fallen in the toilet had everybody else not been aware that I was definitely having that baby. And I just remember I was so elated. I was stunned. There are photos that my doula took of me, and my hair is so wild, and my eyes are wide open, and I'm just looking at them with my baby in my arms at this point, just stunned. Like, what? I have a baby? I did not think I was going to have my baby. I honestly thought I had like 8 more hours to go. So that was amazing. That was my favorite birth experience of all of them. It was magical. And then I had to apologize to my whole birth team because I had been cussing at them in transition because I'd been so mad that my birth was lasting so long that I was cussing at them. I was like, take me to the hospital, I want drugs. And they're like, no, you're in transition. And my midwife knew me from my last birth, you know, and she knew what it looked like when I was in transition, and she was just like, no, you're in transition, we won't get there, you know, you'll have a car baby, like, I'm not gonna do that, it's dangerous, we're gonna stay here, you're fine, you don't need drugs. And so I had started cussing at them, and literally like 15 minutes later I did have my baby. So I would have had a car baby if she had taken me, tried to transfer me. So I was just like, I'm so sorry for cussing at you guys, I'm so sorry. And and they were all, of course, like, it's fine, we love you, you know, what happens in labor stays in labor. You're good. But yeah, that was probably the most magical birth experience. And that was of my second son, Zeke. My third son, and most recent, Huxley Ray, who just turned a year old on Valentine's Day, he was my hospital birth. And that's a weird story because we, again, decided to move into a new house 3 hours away from our home in Austin. We decided to move out into the country because we owned a property. We had been renting before. And we finally owned a property out in the country. But our lease was ending. And so we had to move like very quickly and suddenly. And it was very stressful trying to arrange everything to be finished on time and get moved in order to settle before the baby arrived. So I worked myself ragged. I was unpacking boxes from sunup to sundown. I was stupidly drinking caffeine, even though I know it's an anxiety trigger. I was not getting any body work. I was not going to acupuncture. I just wasn't taking care of myself. I just totally didn't do any self-care. you know, it's that third baby life. You're like, oh, I've done this. It's whatever. You know, you just get into this weird, or at least I did. I just kind of blew it off almost, like blew off my own pregnancy because I was trying to prepare and move and do all these things outside of it. And that was a huge mistake. So we planned to have a home birth. We found a home birth midwife in our new area. She was wonderful. I loved her so much. But about a week before my due date, I got so anxious that it was completely debilitating. I couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. So 3 days passed without really eating much of anything. Everything I did eat upset my stomach and immediately evacuated. I couldn't sleep. I stayed up the whole night listening to like sleep meditations, trying to sleep, and couldn't. I didn't reach out for help early enough. So at the point that I was at, you know, I didn't feel like I could get help. I didn't feel like I could even go to acupuncture at this point. I texted my midwife and I was like, I need to get this baby out of me. Like, please, is there any way we can like schedule a cesarean, get this baby cut out of me, not make me feel anything at all, and just be on the other side of this? And she was pretty stunned. You know, she was like, oh my gosh, you know, because I hadn't reached out to her before about it. And she was like, well, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, do you need me to champion you right now? Do you need me to convince you that this isn't what you want? Or do you want me to start talking to the hospital and scheduling something? And I was like, I want you to contact the hospital. So she scheduled an appointment with a group of midwives who work at the hospital in Kerrville. And we went over there and they talked to me about inducing. And at this point I had been a doula for about 3 years. And so I was very well educated about all of my birth options, which allowed me to really direct experience. And as midwives, you know, CPMs or CNMs, certified nurse midwives, they listen to me and they really let me have a voice and a directive in my experience. So we ended up, they administered some anti-anxiety medication so that was safe for me and the baby, so that I could sleep and relax. And then we did a Foley bulb induction, which is where they put this catheter up inside the birth canal, and it has a big bulb that they can fill up with water, and that puts pressure on your cervix just like the baby's head does, and it allows it kind of mechanically gets it to open to like 4 to 6 centimeters instead of using anything like Cervidil, which is synthetic prostaglandins that dilate the cervix, that I haven't seen be super successful, or Cytotec, which is actually an ulcer medication that they use off-label to dilate and start labor, which I definitely didn't want because it's contraindicated during pregnancy. So I knew that I didn't want those things, and I was happy that they were able to give me the Foley option. So I went to sleep with the Foley in, which just puts a lot of pressure in there, but it doesn't hurt at all. It was a weird sensation at first, but you quickly get used to it. So I went overnight with the Foley, and around 3 or 4 in the morning, I woke up with very intense contractions and I needed to pee. So I got out of bed and I went to the bathroom, and the Foley just fell out, which if the Foley falls out, you're 5 to 6 centimeters. So I was like, awesome, I'm 5 to 6 centimeters dilated. And I called in the nurse, and I was having regular contractions. So they decided not to give me any Pitocin and just let me contract for a while. And then I was still at this point anxious about being anxious. I was on anxiety medication, but I didn't want anything to make me anxious again. And I was worried that if the contractions got more intense, that I would feel anxious and panicky again. So I asked for an epidural, thinking that it would help keep me from getting anxious. And I had seen women as a doula choose to get epidurals, and they looked like they enjoyed them thoroughly. So I thought, you know what? I'm in the hospital. I'm not having a home birth. I have the option. Like, I'm just going to do this. So they placed the epidural, and it was so strange. It was so strange as somebody who has had home births and felt the sensation of birth, to then not be able to feel anything at all. And it's, I mean, it's strange being paralyzed no matter what. That's a strange feeling. So I personally did not enjoy it at all. And I already have very low blood pressure, and epidurals lower your blood pressure. So there were a couple of times where my blood pressure got dangerously low and kind of freaked me out. So overall, I would say that the epidural added to my anxiety. And if I could go back and do it again, I probably wouldn't have done it. It also lengthened my labor. It made it longer than it would have been had I not gotten it. Which is true for everybody, but sometimes it's worth it, you know, especially if you've been in labor for a really, really long time and you need to rest. You know, there are definitely times when epidurals are worth it. But for me, I personally felt like it wasn't worth it. Time passed. We did end up putting me on Pitocin because I requested it. My midwives were fine with seeing if I would continue to dilate and progress without it, but I absolutely did not want to lose momentum, because I didn't want to have a cesarean. Even though I had said I wanted a cesarean, I didn't really want to have to heal from a cesarean. And so once I had had anxiety medication in and I was in my right mind, I knew that I wanted to have this baby vaginally, and the best chance for that was to keep labor going. And so I was like, please put me on a low dose of Pitocin, keep this going. And so I started active labor around 3 in the morning, and I had Huxley around 12:30, right before he started to be born. I felt some weird pressure, not pressure because I was like paralyzed, but it was just a weird sensation in my rump area, you know? And so I told them, I was like, I think he's coming out. And it felt like he was like falling out of me. Like I could feel him suddenly. As soon as he sort of started coming out of the birth canal, I was like, he's slipping out of me. And Joel had actually just gone down the hall to get lunch. And I was like, Mom, call Joel. Like, he's being born right now. And so we called the nurses. We called Joel. Luckily, he was right outside the door and was able to come in quickly. And the nurses rushed in and my midwife rushed in. And sure enough, Huxley was literally falling out of me. They were like, yep, there he is. He's right there. So I grabbed my phone and I swiped for the camera and I started recording as he was born into Joel's arms, because my midwife called Joel over and was like, do you want to deliver? Because he's delivered all of, not delivered. I actually don't like to say that because, you know, babies are born, not delivered. But he has caught all three of our babies. And so that was something that was really important to him. Even though we were having a hospital birth, he was like, I still want to be the first person to hold our baby, you know, after he's born. And that's something that we really connect on. And we love having that experience together and sharing it. And so I was really happy that the midwives at Peterson Women's Associates were happy to allow that. So they called him over and he caught Huxley within like 2 minutes of me saying, I'm going to birth this baby. He was born and I got it all on my iPhone camera from my perspective. And that was it. And I spent the next 2 weeks being scared of being anxious. Like, I was afraid that I would be anxious, but it really never hit again like it had. And I truly, like, that birth experience has made me really see the importance of self-care throughout pregnancy. Like, you cannot put yourself on the back burner. You absolutely have to be your top priority, even if you have two other kids and this is your third kid or this is your fourth kid or this is your fifth kid, whatever. Like, you have to put yourself first, because your mental health can suffer. And people have asked me, you know, how do I prevent this? Like, I have anxiety, you know, how do I prevent this happening to me? And I tell them, like, I was extreme in not taking care of myself. It was not just like one little thing. It was like I was doing all the wrong things. I wasn't reaching out to my community. I wasn't talking to my friends. I had secluded myself because I was just so focused on the move, that I'd secluded myself. I overworked myself. I stress myself out. We were financially stretched due to the move, because it was a big investment, you know, to make all at once. So I just had so many things on my mind. I wasn't doing my self-care. So I like to tell this story because I like to warn other people, like, you really have to take care of yourself. It's not selfish. It's healthcare. And, you know, we need to be in a good place when we're having babies, because honestly, you know, the statistics on maternal health are not good, especially maternal mental health. You know, so many people are ending up with, postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression, perinatal anxiety. And honestly, you know, maternal suicide rates are really high. So it's something, it's not selfish. It absolutely needs to be focused on. And I write a lot about maternal mental health and the importance of it on my blog, because it's something now that hits very close to home and is very important to me.
Well, I really appreciate this episode too. I learned a lot from your stories, and I always find myself relating. I mean, I have several children and about ready for number six. Oh. And so I feel like, I keep finding myself relating to so many women, even though I feel like a professional at this point, you know, like you, like some of the stuff you were saying, especially about, you know, once you get to your third kid, you're kind of like, oh, you know, this is my third kid. I've done this. I already know. And just like, you know, you kind of being a self-care advocate and like trying to tell these women, like, it's so important, whether it's your first kid or your 12th kid.
Yes.
Or however many you have, that you need to treat it.
And that goes
as if
it goes for self-care and it goes for everything. Like, you think you get it, but honestly, birth will throw you a wild card to teach you something. And I 100% believe that. Like, you can prepared. Oh, I've done this before. No, it's going to change something up to where you're not fully prepared. Like, the plans will change. And it's all about how you adapt to those plans, how you care for yourself, you know? So it's like, you can't be 100% prepared ever. You can't know exactly what's going to happen ever.
Birth is super humbling. Like, it will definitely teach you a lesson every single time. So I really loved that you were able to share your story and kind of get that point across, because I think it's very important. Mental health is a big thing these days, or it's something that you're seeing more and more about. And so I think when women are able to hear stories and find stories that they can relate to or learn from, it's just super important. So I did appreciate that a lot. But I do have some questions for you. You answered, I've been writing down questions this whole time, and then you would like answer every question that I write down. So,
oh, that makes me feel good.
Yes. I love when that happens, honestly, because it just, it works out so smoothly. But first I wanted to ask, so your second was born before 40 weeks, correct?
Yes. He was one day before his due date.
Okay, and then the third one was how many?
So he was like 39 and a half weeks because we induced.
Okay, 39 and a half
and
weeks.
I just, that's, I mean, I induced knowing that I wasn't caring for myself, and my first had gone to 42 and a half weeks. And I was like, if I have 2.5 weeks more of this, like, I can't do it. You know, I'm so
right.
So.
Yeah, I think that it was important to share that, and that, you know, it's okay. Like, there's a lot of people who think that, or I don't want to say, like, are opposed to induction or whatever, you know, there's the statistics with that. But also, it's super important. It goes hand in hand with what you've been saying the whole time, you know, taking care of yourself, realizing, hey, you know what? I need this help. I need this for my own sanity.
Yes.
And
for you and your baby's health, you know, you have to focus on both. And that's with everything, birth, breastfeeding, everything, you know, it all needs to be consensual in a way. And I couldn't share my body anymore. I couldn't have those hormones anymore. And I was one of those people who honestly was pretty vehemently against induction. You know, I'd taken my first, I'd made it to 42 and a half weeks. I'd waited on my baby. I had trusted my body. But this wasn't about that. This wasn't about waiting on my baby and trusting my body. This was about mental health, you know, and needing this for both of our health, because my mental health was in such a state, it couldn't have been good for him. You know, I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. Like, that's not normal. That's not.
Yes. Yep. Totally. Okay. So how about your baby's weights? What were those?
So my first was 8 pounds, 15 ounces, which is basically 9 pounds.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I'm tall. I'm 5'8". And my midwife kept thinking, she kept saying, you need to eat more. You need to eat more. You know, your fundal height isn't measuring up. And I was like, dude, I'm eating all the time. She was like, well, eat more milkshakes, like, fatten this baby up. Because I was eating like 6 or 7 meals a day. And it turned out I was just hiding him because he was 8 pounds, 15 ounces. So I had just been hiding him in my long abdomen. And so my next baby, she wasn't you know, stressing out about it. And he, Zeke, my second, was 9.5 pounds. He was 9 pounds, 8 ounces. So he was my biggest baby, even though, but his head was smaller than Titus's. So Titus's head was a 15 inch circumference, and Zeke's was 13 and a half inches. So his was 1.5 inches less in circumference. And I swear it was so much easier to push him out. So much easier. I mean, I spent 1.5 hours pushing out Titus, and I spent 5 minutes pushing Zeke. And it's a smaller head, man. Even though he weighed 0.5 pound more. And then Huxley was my smallest because I pushed him out early. So he was 7 pounds, 12 ounces. And he was so cute because I never had such a small baby. You know, after he lost some of his birth weight, as they do, he was like close to 7 pounds, you know? So he was tiny looking compared to my others. And I just ate it up. I loved it because I've always kind of wished, like, oh, I wish I could have a small, dainty baby because they just look cute. They're fun to snuggle. They don't look like freaking toddlers right off the bat.
Yes.
So I got him. I got my little, small, cute, tiny baby.
I could relate to that. I had, so my first two were in the 5 pound range, and then my third baby, he was 7.5 pounds, which I mean, obviously is still pretty small or average size, you know, but
bigger compared.
Yeah. And it was just so crazy being on, I was like, wow, I've never had to deal with somebody, you know, so big. And so, yeah,
I think 7.5 or 7 is like the perfect size. It's like, yes, not so small that they super breakable, but it's small enough that they don't feel like a monster and already fit into 3 months clothes.
Right. You have the toddler babies.
Yes.
So perfect. So you shared a lot about, like, as far as advice, you know, I really like what you've already said about the advice as far as like for mental health and self-care and all that stuff. But I wanted to know a little bit more about how your postpartum period was for, you know, each pregnancy. Like, was it something that, like, you said in the third one, you didn't really struggle. I mean, you were anxious about maybe being anxious, but it never came. So like with your first two, did you ever, was that a struggle that you had?
So I won't lie, I'm always kind of anxious. Like, that's my personality. I have anxious tendencies. I have to avoid my triggers, such as caffeine, alcohol, anything that kind of muddles my mind or makes me jittery. So, you know, there's always a certain level of anxiety postpartum, even after Huxley. Mm-hmm. My first, I wasn't prepared for it. And I also was exhausted after my first. It was a 37-hour labor. I hadn't prepared for that. I didn't take care of myself throughout labor. So I felt like a train had hit me. And luckily it was my first baby because I was able to sleep all the time with him. You know, anytime he was sleeping, I was sleeping. Which I had to be because I felt just so drained. I was eating placenta smoothies and I was drinking wellness postpartum tea. And I mean, we had frozen tons of food. So I was eating all the time, but it's like I had to do all of those things to heal. And I was still just completely drained. And the only thing that I could do is take care of my baby, like feed him, nurse him, lay around with him. And after Zeke, but my anxiety after Titus, I didn't realize it was anxiety. I actually thought that I had a superpower because I would see these horrible, gruesome events happening
that I thought I was able to see them in order to protect myself and my baby from them. So I would be like walking into the living room and I would, in my mind's eye, envision myself tripping, falling, my baby flying out of my hands, cracking his skull on the fireplace, and, you know, like blood everywhere, you know, like I would see these mm-hmm. awful things occur. And I told my husband one day, like, I guess I just have this like motherhood superpower. Like I can see bad things happen before they happen so that I can protect myself from them. And he was like, that doesn't sound normal. And he ended up telling our midwife about it. He was like, I think you should tell Mandy, you know, that this is happening. And she's like, oh, like, what is happening? You know, and I told her, and she was like, oh, sweetie, you know, you have, that's postpartum anxiety, you know, and kind of questioned me some other things like, you know, am I watching him breathing at night, which I was staying up and watching him breathe, or just waking in a start and looking over and watching him for a few breaths to make sure that he was in fact breathing. And she was like, all of this is postpartum anxiety, and kind of talked me through ways to help that, some of which were like herbal support, like nettles and oat straw, which did really help. And then the baby blues tincture by Well Garden Herbs, that also helped. It's for like postpartum depression, but it absolutely helped with the anxiety as well. And I did end up going to my physician and getting a medication that I could take if I had a panic attack. And just having that prescription on hand, I hate taking medication. So just having it helps me talk myself down. Like, is this bad enough that I need medication? No, I can calm myself down, you know, and then I can go forward, you know, because I don't like taking the medication. So it helps me talk myself down and realize that really nothing's wrong and really I'm just panicking. So I went through all of that after my first, and then with my second, I knew about the anxiety. So that's why I did the regular acupuncture, which, oh my gosh, that 100% is amazing. I absolutely recommend acupuncture for anybody who struggles with anxiety because it helps me so, so much. I mean, it cures me. So I went to that regularly throughout my second pregnancy, and I did not suffer from the anxiety before or after near as much, if at all. It was just so smooth. I felt the best after my second pregnancy, and the difference is the self-care that I had. And I don't know why I didn't continue that in my third, because I was just being an airhead. I don't know, but you just, you know, you think you're so tough and you put yourself on the back burner because you're busy. But
absolutely.
Yeah, so then, I mean, you know, my third and the postpartum, you know, there was some anxiety, but it wasn't like panic stricken. It was just kind of a low level. I had to be easy with myself. I had to take it slow. I didn't put too much on my plate. I didn't expect too much of myself. For the first like month, I didn't do anything. And then I eased into doing like outings and things like that. I eased into the outings. Usually I don't take my babies out until after 2 months anyway, just because of germs, because I'm a germaphobe. So I just honored that. And then whenever we did start going out, I eased myself into it because I would feel more anxious when we were in public. Because I just, you know, it was just an overwhelm. All the energy is in the air, absorbing all of that. Just the chaos of all the people moving around me. And it really made me realize how this society is not set up the way that our instincts would tell us to be, if that makes sense. Like, you know, we don't have this like small little village. It's like so fast paced and chaotic, and you know, going out as this like newly postpartum mom,
I just realized like how everyone is so close together, and you know, the roar inside a restaurant or store or whatever is so loud with people's voices talking close to the people next to you, but you're complete strangers, and people aren't really supporting each other and connecting the way that they could. And I don't know, it just all seemed very unnatural when I was in this postpartum days. So that was strange. That was surreal feeling. So I kind of stayed inside more until that passed. I feel like I was like more like 6 months postpartum when I was like, okay, I got this. I'm back on the same pace as everybody else. I'm like in the right mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I can relate to that too. I'm a lot of the things that you have mentioned, like I'm kind of an anxious person just to begin with. I'm just naturally anxious. So a lot of the stuff that you're saying, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, girl. You're speaking to me. So I know that you mentioned earlier that you have a blog, and yeah. I also, so if you want to tell listeners where they can find that, and I will also link your Instagram page where they can find you, because you have a lot of good content on there as well.
Oh, thank you. So my blog is my name, which I know isn't the easiest. So it's katepavlovsky.com. So that's Kate, K-A-T-E, Pavlovsky, P-A-V-L-O-V-S-K-Y.com. And then you just click over to blog from the first page, and y'all can find all the things I'm posting there. And I'm trying to start posting more there because I really want to bring more info to people than I can fit in like a small Instagram post.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, is there anything, any other resources or anything else you want to add?
I think that's it. Oh my gosh, I just found Huxley with like half of the wipes container spread out. Real life, mom life.
Yep, there you go. There we have it, folks. So I appreciate you so much for taking time out of your day and hopping on the podcast and sharing your stories with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you reaching out and having me on.
Absolutely.
Hey y'all, that's all the time we have for this episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in being a guest on our show, find us on Instagram at From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook. Thank you so much for your support and listening, and until next time, I am your host, Ricky Hamley.